Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for inviting me to come and share in the service today. Do we have some pictures? I hope so. Yes, we do. Here we go. Well, MAF use light aircraft, and they go to remote parts of the world, to lonely places, to forgotten places where people often feel neglected. What difference can we possibly make with a small plane like that? Well, it's all in the box.
It's all in the box.
Can you see the young man there carrying the box? Well, we take lots of stuff, but we also take lots of people as well. People who go to help. People with medical skills. Doctors and nurses, dentists, farmers, water engineers, all sorts of people. Imagine you wanted to get somewhere and you were faced with maybe 2 days' journey and your delicate equipment that you're carrying would get broken. Maybe you might be attacked. But if the plane can get you there in less than an hour or maybe a couple of hours, what a difference that can make. We not only take people who go to help, we also take people to hospital, sometimes wearing a triangular bandage, maybe. There we go. First aider failed years ago. Imagine being somewhere where there's no doctors, nurses, no GP practices, no hospitals, and no money to pay anyway. What a difference it could make if we could take them to a clinic or somewhere that could go to help. Can you see my poorly arm? I've got a poorly arm. It's poorly people that need help, isn't it? We take medicines. This is a bottle of Gaviscon, but it's just to illustrate, again, medicines carried in a truck miles and miles over a dusty road would get smashed. Damaged, possibly, or it might just go off. Imagine people needing a vaccination and it's got to be kept chilled. The plane can take it. Did I mention farmers? Sometimes people can't grow their crops and they need some help. Someone who could say, well, try this crop, do it this way. Someone who could go to help. So we take seeds and tools. Got a great picture of Tiafun unloading their tools as people are going to dig not wells but toilets. So we take lots of tools in the plane. We even take saucepans. Imagine you had to run away from home because you were being attacked, and all you could take with you is what you could carry. And when you got somewhere or other with your family, what would you want? What would you want? A bed? Something over your head, something to cook with, maybe. Could bring it in the plane. And we don't just take stuff and people to help. We carry pastors, Bible translators, people who go to teach. We take teachers as well, and their children. And we carry lots of these. So this is the Holy Bible, New International Version, Children's Edition. But it's no good if you don't speak English, is it? Or if you don't read. Who's going to help these people hear about the good news of Jesus? Maybe the plane could help. I've got a longer list. Please don't go to sleep as I read it out, will you? We carry batteries and Bibles and building materials and cooking pots, I mentioned that, emergency food, fishing nets, generators, insect sprays, laptops, mail, mattresses, medicines, I mentioned that, mosquito nets, paraffin, quad bikes, radios, rafts, school books, seeds and tools, sewing machines, solar panels, syringes, tents, torches, vaccines, vehicle parts, water filters, well drilling equipment. And that's not everything. That's just to give you a little bit of a flavour. We can get them in these little planes. They're not that big. If I was to stand next to this one, and my head would probably touch the wing. So it's not 747 size. They're little planes that take off and land on short distances. I forgot to mention two very important people that we're short of, and if you are praying folk, perhaps you will pray for them. We are short of pilots. We are short of pilots. And we're short of people to fix the planes. You may notice it has one engine at the front. If it stops, gravity takes over. So we need skillful engineers. We're often so short that we have to take the planes to a nearby country. In Guinea, when the plane needs fixing, we take it to Liberia. It's a bit like you taking your car to Belgium for a service. We're short of engineers. If you're praying, folk, please pray. Have I got another picture? Can I make this thing work? Yes, here we go. Here we are in Guinea. Who are the ladies in the picture? Well, they're nurses. They're American nurses, and they serve with an organization called Mission Partners for Christ. How about that for a good name? And that's Wilmot Walker taking the selfie. He's a pastor in the capital, in Conakry. And while the ladies are doing their clinics and helping folk in the villages, the pastor's got all these little solar-powered Bibles so that people can hear the good news of the Lord Jesus in their own language. How clever is that? Little boxes, only a little bit bigger than this, and they can listen to what God has to say to them. Isn't that great? So that's what the pastor's up to while the ladies are fixing folk. Have a guess. They were there for 2 days. How many do you think people they saw? Was it 200, 500, or 1,000? Any offers? How many people do you think they saw in those two days? Anybody going to be brave enough to say yes? It was 1,000. They saw 1,000 patients in 2 days. And a lot of the people suffered with worms, i.e. they're drinking dirty water. So people are looking now at how can we provide them with clean water. Maybe a water engineer needs to come in the plane. Maybe filters needed to be taken there. Just a little bit of a flavour of MAF in one country. We serve in about 30 countries, and this is Guinea, the most recent country. Don't know what your geography is like. If you don't know where it is, it's West Africa on the lump that sticks out. You know, Guinea's just about there. That's where we serve. Can we make a difference? We can. Can we make a difference? Maybe we can't fly a plane. Maybe we can't fix planes. We can pray. We can pray. We can follow the work. And this I would call a circle of friends. This must be one of my favourite pictures I've got. It says it all. One plane, one pilot, and 70 or 80 people standing round, praying and being part of this to make it happen. So we may never go to these countries, but we can pray and we can show an interest. Where is it? Oh, yes. If you want to find out a little bit more, I've got some stuff on the table right at the back there, just as you came in. And there's a little blue leaflet. If you would like to hear more and hear the great stories of what MAF get up to, the people we help and the places we go to, there's a little sign-up sheet there, and we'll send you some information on a regular basis. And you can become part of our circle of friends. That would be great. The envelope could be used, should you want to put cash into it, or you could give your bank details if you want to, or you can stick that in there and post it free post, or you can give it to me, save the postman a job. Either way. Okay, that's the end of the advert for MAF. There we are. I put that word on, but I'm sure that's what they're saying. Thank you for thinking of us. Thank you for coming. Thank you that you don't forget us. Thank you for sending the plane. What a difference small planes can make in remote places. You won't hear about it on the BBC very often or in your news, but God is working his purposes out, and he's using organisations like MAF. I hope to share a little bit more later on during our later part of the service, but we'll leave it there now, and I'll hand back over to John. Thank you.
So Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 8 and 27 to 31. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. In verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Before we look at this passage together, shall we come to God in prayer? Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this reminder in the song that every tribe and nation needs to hear of the fact that you are a great God, that you love and that you care and that you reach out to everyone across the lands. We thank you, Father, that we can say you are the Word, Logos. And so, Father, as we look into your Word just now, we pray that you would speak into our situations and open our hearts to be your faithful followers in these days, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. What's your view of road schemes? Disruptive, damaging to the environment, costly, a nuisance, noise? Or do you see it as great news? Another bottleneck at long last has been removed. This is a picture of the newish bypass between Littlehampton and Worthing. We call it the Lyminster Bypass. And Heather and I use it quite often. It's a great improvement. There used to be a very sharp bend in the road, and you had to slow down to 20 mile an hour to get round it. Not so good. Did you notice in our Bible reading that Isaiah is also an advocate of civil engineering? Did you notice it in verse 4? Let me read it again for you. Every valley should be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground should become level, and the rugged places a plain. That sounds like a lot of work, and in Isaiah's time, no tractors or trucks or JCBs to help with the task. But what did Isaiah really mean when he said these words? What about the location? Where did he call? Did you notice again in the reading? is said in verse 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, the desert, the dry places, the forgotten places. No roads, no shops, no Tesco's, no nothing. But even in this picture, in Lesotho, a little place, part of South Africa, I've looked at this photo very carefully, and there are people down below the aircraft. There are little groups of people living in places like this. I wonder, do they feel forgotten? Who cares for them? Who's going to visit them? Who's going to help them in their time of need? I have to say that Maff totally agree with Isaiah in verse 3. We think he has it about right. He describes the purpose of this project quite fully in verse 3. Do you notice where he says there? A highway for our God. A highway for our God. Perhaps we could use the word highway and say a runway, or better, really, for the Maff places, an airstrip, because they're not posh, they're not tarmacked or concreted. They're usually just either cut out of the jungle or cleared. The ant hills are removed, the lumps are filled in, and so we would have an airstrip in a remote place. No airstrip means no help, no hope, and no healing for the people that live there. A lot of resources are needed to build airstrips and runways. We need people with planning skills, finance, people who can organise it and get it to happen. We need training, we need engineering skills, we need people with IT, and two other vital people that I mentioned earlier to help us run a Christian airline. Maintenance engineers, and also the pilots themselves. Perhaps you know someone who's skilled in these areas that I've just mentioned, and if they're Christians, maybe they would love to come and work for MAF one day. People get trained, it all takes time, but then they come and service in the remote parts of the world, often taking their families with them as well. As I say, perhaps you know someone who might be able to help in this area. Look again in verse 3, how Isaiah summarizes the project. He says, to make straight in the desert. Make it straight. That's pretty vital when you're putting an airstrip in. We can't have a 20 mile an hour bend halfway down it like the old road in Lyminster. It's got to be straight for the plane to land safely. I have to say that in some places where we land, at the bottom of the airstrip, there is a drop. In Papua New Guinea, there's often a mountain in the way. It's not always easy to take off and land in some of the places where we serve. What did Isaiah mean? Make straight. Perhaps we could say to smooth the way. We've got to make it smooth for the plane to come. But maybe that's what was in Isaiah's mind. And he certainly wasn't thinking of vehicles and aircraft when he said, make straight, was he? So who is the highway for that Isaiah is proclaiming here? Well, again, these verses help us exactly. A highway for our God. I wonder, just a thought, if you would call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, maybe that's our job description, to smooth the way so that people can see God. When they look at us and when they hear us and when we help and when we do things, do they say, oh, well, maybe there's something in that Christianity after all? Do we help to smooth the way for people to come to faith? That's a lot of what we do with the aircraft. We take people who go to help and we go and help people, but we love to share the Christian message. Because people need more than stuff. We have stuff in the West, don't we? We have help, but we need something more than that. We want to share the good news of the Lord Jesus with people that have never heard. We want them to see the Lord clearly for themselves. And what's the purpose of all this hard work, of all this smoothing the way? Well, verse 5 tells us. Let me just read it again for you, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. All people, all mankind, we had read earlier. Everyone, not just for the Jewish people that Isaiah was speaking to, not just for the people around about us where we live. All people, says Isaiah, all people. We want the glory of the Lord to be revealed. We want the King of creation to arrive so that they can see him for themselves. We want to share this Christian message alongside that practical help and healing. There's a key verse in verse 8 that we looked at as well. Let me just read that for you. A little reminder in the days we live. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Madagascar, there we are, one of the countries where we serve. Madagascar is a country about the size of France and Belgium together. It's a vast island. And I think we've got 2 aircraft there at the moment, just 2. If you go to a local private airport near us, you might see like this one called Shoreham. Shoreham Airport, you could see 20 light aircraft there. And we've got 2 in the country that size. Madagascar. There we are. That perhaps better illustrates the verse I mentioned. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. On this particular occasion, we were taking a pastor. This is in Tanzania. There we are. And the pastor's reading to the people in their own language so they can hear the good news of the Lord Jesus. That's our aim. That's why we take pastors and Bible translators, people who give of their time and their skills. We want people to hear the timeless word of God. In it, it contains God's rescue plan for mankind. God's rescue plan for mankind is not an aircraft. It's his son, isn't it? His only rescue plan for mankind. That's the project. That's the aim. How about us? Are we on board? Have we accepted the Lord Jesus into our own lives? Are we faithful followers of him in these days? That's his one and only rescue plan for all mankind. What's our response to all this? Let's move on in this chapter. What's our response? Of course, many people don't see it this way, do they? They don't see God's rescue plan for mankind. I wonder what these ladies think in South Sudan. Perhaps they think, does anyone care about me? Maybe this verse 27 was written for them. What does it say? Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Maybe many people feel disregarded. Maybe they think God is not interested in them. Here we are in South Sudan. If you know anything about this nation, they've suffered so much. Much of their infrastructure, their schools, hospitals, those that they had have been smashed in the fighting. And can you see what's wrong with the little girl in the front there with the orange shirt on? Her head is swollen and she's really poorly. All these mums have children with the same problem. There is no help for them at all in South Sudan. There is a clinic there that gathers these people together. But these babies need operations, they need help, they need practical help, and it's not available in South Sudan. Hydrocephalus, that's the illness. But there is an organisation in Uganda, the next country, called Cure International. It's another charity, and they will operate on babies that suffer with hydrocephalus. And but it's getting there. How do they get there? You've probably guessed. These ladies are making the first flight of their lives in an MAF aircraft. They could never afford this. They could never afford the treatment. They could never afford the flight. But that's roughly how it works. We often use the word working in partnership. I'm sure you've seen it on the side of various vehicles. Working in partnership. But that's how it is. There's the folk in South Sudan who've got the clinic going. There's Cure International in Uganda who can do the surgery. And MAF will provide the transport. The ladies say that if they were to go overland by road, even if they could afford it, when they get to the border, life is difficult. Often money is demanded from them. The journey is unsafe, the road is rough, and there are bandits around. But MAF are able to overfly them and get them there in about an hour and a half. Makes a huge difference. So you can see we can make a difference. We can change the lives for families with their suffering children. And that's, again, just an example of one country where MAF is at work. Can we help? Can we make a difference? I mentioned a couple of times that we're very short of pilots, and any giving that we're receiving during this period at the moment is going to train young men and women to fly our planes. I do say young women as well, because we do have lady pilots, we have lady engineers, we have some, not many. But it's quite expensive, and so MAF are running a training program to help people in their endeavours to come and fly with us. And just to say thank you for the church family here. I know a number of you have prayed for the work, and you have supported the mission in the past, and we are grateful. It's families and folk like yourselves that are making these things happen, making them possible. I'll put up my favourite picture again, a circle of friends gathering together to make it all possible. Let's look back in our passage again. We come to a verse that is not, is it clear? Verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. What does it mean to hope in the Lord when you hope about things? Is it hope like, I hope the dinner won't be burnt when we get back? I hope the speaker doesn't go on for too long. Is it that sort of hope, or is it something deeper than that? There are a number of different ways of translating this verse in different Bible verses. Some say those who hope in the Lord. Some say those who wait for the Lord. Some say those who trust in the Lord. There's a song, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord." That wait upon always sounds to me like a waiter. Have you ever been to a posh restaurant and there's someone dressed up, standing not too far away, watching to see when people need help and need some food? And so they're standing by. They're standing by. Our pilots are often on standby. They have a time when they've got to be made available, ready for when an emergency comes along. Many of our flights are scheduled, but some of them are on standby. And the aircraft, when they're taking off, they put on full power and they race down the runway and take off. And I want us to look at another verse now. Verse 31. Are we on standby for God? Are we available to serve him? Or do we have our own flight plan do we go our own way? Did you notice in that verse that I started to read, verse 31? But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's those who trust, who hope, who wait upon the Lord. Heather and I were on holiday recently, and we could hear this screeching, and you could look up and you could see these large red eagle-like birds, red kites they were, and they weren't flapping. They were, it looked as though they were hovering. They were being held up by this unseen power, and they would circle round as they made this squeaking noise. And that's just how it's described here, these eagles. They are soaring. They're being held up by a power that's greater than them. We often flap. We're pretty good at flapping, aren't we? But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. Well, we've journeyed quite a long way with our passage. Let me just read some of the verses again to remind you of how far we've travelled from our engineering project to flight. Verses 3-5 said, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people everywhere will see it." And just that verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." As the pilots always pray before they take off, let me bring our time together with a prayer. Shall we pray? Father God, you are the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. You sent your one and only Son to rescue us, to rescue all mankind. So may we trust in you. May we wait before you. May we draw our strength from you. Thank you, Father God, that this week MAF will be out flying and serving people in remote places, bringing that help and hope and healing. And we pray that all this may be done to your greater glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.